friends, and welcome to the Co-op Show, a show that doesn't have a witty tagline just yet because we haven't done enough of them to create one. I'm one of your hosts, Brittany, alongside my husband, Jason.
That's me.
Did you like that intro?
Oh, I love the tagline. I think it should be a thing.
We should just call just it the podcast with that never has a tagline.
Oh, yeah.
It's
podcast
terrible.
Without a tagline.
You may know me from the What's Good Games podcast. We put out new shows every Monday and Friday, and we launched in 2017, and we have a fantastic time. And I think I've talked about you quite a bit on that show, Mr. Jason.
Yes, indeed.
So, yeah, so Jason and I have been playing co-op games for a very, very long time. I would say since we started dating, it was something we immediately bonded over and found common ground with.
I remember the very first question that you ever asked me when I met you in a bar.
Okay.
It was, do you play video games?
Yeah.
And I said, yes. And I said, what is your favorite video game? And do you remember what you said?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. And the moment you said that, I knew that I was going to marry you someday.
Did you really, or are you just saying that for dramatic effect?
No, okay. I'll put it this way. I said, I'm definitely going to date you. And I wasn't just going to date you if I didn't think it could, like, lead to marriage. You know, that's not how it works.
Yeah, you were old. You were 25 at the time.
With the intent of marriage down the road. So, you know, I mean, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But step one.
Yes. And
it's fair to say.
Here we are 9 years later, married. So I guess you did.
It worked.
You did the thing. So, like I said, we've played a lot of co-op games, all sorts of different kinds of games. And for years now, I feel like we've tossed around the idea of starting something. And that has ranged from maybe a website where we listed off our favorite games and gave it like a point rating from 1 to 10, and then never manifested. And then I guess we kind of thought about the podcast idea, and here we are.
Well, yeah, you're a podcasting pro now. I mean, look at you.
You flatter me.
What's Good Games, and I've been dipping my toes in as well to podcasting. And you know what? Just a lot of people listen to podcasts these days. It seems like the natural route.
Yeah, because we're all stuck at home playing games.
I mean, yeah, pandemic.
Can't go anywhere, do anything.
Can't do anything but play video games.
So we thought that we would start this show off with a game that we have been playing lately, and that is Heroes of Hammerwatch. Music. No, just me.
We need like a drop. Like I need to have a soundboard so that when you do something epic, I can like do my little contribution.
Yeah, I guess since we're not on video, I'm so used to doing video cast for What's Good Games. No one can see my epic hand movements right now, but yeah, I'm pretty sure you can picture them in your head. So this is a. Let me actually just back up a little bit. I should talk about why we wanted to start the show. Obviously, because it would be something fun for you and I to do together. Mm-hmm. And it's something we've talked about for a while. But as people who have played hundreds of co-op games, I think it's sometimes difficult to get the information you need to know whether or not it's going to be a smart purchase if it's the kind of game you're looking for. Is it PvP only? Can you play with bots? If you have to play with other people, everyone knows I don't like playing with other people. And that's just like the reality of the situation. Is it an appropriate game to play with maybe your kid or friends? Or does it require online? Is it split screen? Whoa. And I think a website that we've used quite a bit that's helped us is Co-Optimus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've been a wonderful resource, but we thought it could be fun to kind of start our own little thing and talk about our experiences with games, and hopefully we can cover some games that we've played in the past, like Divinity, Original Sin, and the Halos, and whatnot.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, we've probably played hundreds of co-op games over the last 9 or 10 years since we've been together.
Yeah.
All starting from our first date at GameWorks, where we had many drinks and played many games, and some of them were co-op and some of them were not, but
that was a fun game.
That was fun.
Or a fun date.
A fun date. Yeah. It was a fun first date. Yeah. Yeah. PSA. If you want to take somebody on a fun first date, go ahead and take them to GameWorks.
Just do it after the pandemic,
it
please.
Works out. Well, yeah. Wait till after the pandemic. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. So yeah. So we thought it would be smart to start with a game that's fresh in our memories, because we have been playing it. We have stopped playing it though, because it has become a little bit of a grind, but we'll get into that little bit later. So this is Heroes of Hammerwatch. It is a T-rated game. It's a roguelite action adventure developed by Crackshell Games, published by Crackshell and Surefire Games. It is currently available on Steam, Switch, and Xbox, although it should be coming to PlayStation, I feel like, any day now. It is online only co-op, which is a bit of a head scratcher. I don't quite understand that one. PvE, it came out July 2020 for console, but it has been on Steam since March of 2018, and it is $19.99. Whoa. There's my little dramatic effect again. I feel like it doesn't transfer.
You know, I got it. I got the perfect drop. You know the grunt in Halo?
Oh, I hate it when you make that sound. I hate that.
Yeah, but I'm going to record that and make it a drop.
No, so. Please don't. Yeah, oh, gosh. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, when you shoot a grunt, or is it when the grunts are running away, they go like, whoa, and it's terrible.
That was perfect.
Thanks. Yeah. But you, Jason has this awful habit lately of just going around the house doing that. It drives me kind of crazy. It makes me want to pull my hair out. So the plot overview of Heroes of Hammerwatch is as follows. Heroes of Hammerwatch is a roguelite action-adventure game set in the same universe as Hammerwatch, which is a game we've also played, which we really enjoyed. Encounter endless hordes of enemies, traps, puzzles, secrets, and lots of loot as you battle your way through procedurally generated levels to reach the top of the Forsaken Spire. So I'm not going to say that this is our second time attempting to record this episode, but this is absolutely our second time attempting to record this episode. And the first time when I read the plot overview, Jason said something that I think is pretty important for him to say.
I'll say it again. This is this is the first time I've seen or heard of this plot overview. So I actually didn't know what we were doing or why prior to this recording, and we're like 10 or 11 hours into this game.
And the reason that's so important is for those of you who don't know, and while I have talked about this a bit on What's Good Games, is Jason doesn't really give a shit about the story. He just is there to, quote, and I quote, kill shit.
Kill shit.
Yes.
Most of the time. There are exceptions. Like, I did care about the story in Divinity Original Sin 2, mm-hmm. But the only...
That's because you had a crush on Fane.
Well, yeah.
That's okay.
Well, and Jehan in the first game.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, we digress. In any case, most of the time, I'm just about the action. I'm about that action, boss, as Marshawn Lynch would say. and less so about story. Generally, Brittany will... I mean, you'll just... do the story, and then I'll just say, hey, okay, TLDR.
Yeah.
And you'll give it to me.
And I'll give you all of the plot details that you just seem not to care about. But yep. That's okay. That's why we make a good team.
Yep.
So this is, like I said, a roguelite, not a roguelike, a roguelite, and there is a distinction there. And generally, I stay far, far, far away from these kind of games because I hate the idea of losing progress. I hate the idea of putting so much time and effort into something just for it to all go away, to poof, to vanish into thin air. It drives me bonkers. But this game definitely has some things built into it, which makes it not as punishing. So it feels like even if you do die, and spoilers, you will die a ton, you don't lose all of your progress. So the way the game breaks down is that there is a town that you need to build up by using resources like ore and gold. And once you build up your town, it unlocks different abilities, different buffs, different items.
Vendors,
etc. Mm-hmm. that help you on your next run. And so that's the town aspect of it. Now the actual, like, you know, dungeon crawling aspect, the roguelite action aspect of it is as follows. You have these different acts, and there's three levels per act. So the first act is the mine.
The mines, yeah.
Second act is the prison. Mm-hmm. Third act is the...
Armory.
And I think fourth is the...
Archives.
And that's as far as you and I got.
That's as far as we got.
So each one of these acts consists of three levels, and those are the procedurally generated levels. And then at the end of three levels, you fight a boss.
Yeah.
You fight that boss, you move on to the next act, and apparently when you get to the top of the spire, you've done the thing. And you defeat the boss, and good job. And then there's some DLC packs that we'll talk about later that we haven't gotten to.
Yep.
And so what this game does, I think that makes it so inviting to me as someone who typically don't like these kind of games, roguelites in particular, and roguelikes, is there is, you get to retain all of your experience points, for one. So when you do fight these enemies, whether it's like a skeleton or like a random vagina slug looking thing, I don't know what those they kind of just like slop around and you're like, what are you? You're disgusting.
Slop around.
There are these like evil flower. I mean, it's your typical dungeon crawling enemies. You do get experience points from them. And then when you do level up, I'm not entirely sure. What does a buff of yours? I think when you level up, you do get a buff of sorts.
Well, I know that your health regen goes up, so that's, I mean, that's pretty
okay,
big.
Okay, so yeah, that's pretty indicative then of stuff increases when
your
you
rate
level
of
up.
Health regen, yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a lot to this game. There's a lot of moving pieces, so yeah. Apologies that we don't know it like completely inside out.
Max health, max mana, things like that will increase on their own, and then you get skill points.
And then you get the skill points, yeah. Which when you level up your town, you can use those skill points to unlock new abilities or just increase the abilities you already have. So that's good. So it's like, even though you got your ass kicked, you still retain that experience and you go into your next one with more of an advantage than you had from the last one.
Yep.
And then the other thing I love about it so much is that there are elevators scattered through, not every level, they don't spawn every level, but they are elevators. And what they allow you to do is send what you have collected to town.
Yeah, it's like... It's what's that one game where you can choose to keep going? Is it Deal or No Deal? I think it's Deal or No Deal. Okay, and in Deal or No Deal, you can choose to either keep going and you can make more money if you keep going, or you can choose to like bow out. And if you bow out, then you go home with what you already have. But if you pick a wrong suitcase or something like this, this is all fuzzy to me, then you lose everything. So that's the risk also.
Oh, like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Is that what it is? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's what I'm thinking of.
I
Who
think
Wants to Be a Millionaire?
The same way,
well,
yeah,
they
like,
probably do.
Yeah, the point being is that you can send your stuff back. The only downfall is when you send your ore back, which again is what you use to upgrade like your facilities and your vendors and whatnot. You get to send all those back at no penalty. But when you send your gold back.
Oh, yeah.
You get taxed.
You get taxed all
because
the
time. Because you know what? Taxes, man. You can't escape them. You can't even escape
Not
them.
Not even in video games? Come on.
Oh, my gosh. So that is what has, kept me, I think, hooked on this game for the 10 or so hours that we did play.
Yeah.
Is because I did feel like every time we went in, like, okay, there's progress being made. And that's really all I need to keep me hooked. And each level does have some fun puzzles. And, whether it's like a memorization match game, or if it's memorize the pattern of spikes so you don't get impaled.
Yeah, just like timing puzzles.
I'm so bad at those.
There was another funny puzzle. I know we'll get to it. I'm fuzzy on the details of it.
Because we were drinking.
Yeah, we were drinking.
The one where I used the Xbox record.
Yes,
that.
Yes.
Yeah, so one of these puzzles, like I mentioned before, is this kind of match the symbols, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it'll flash them all once, and then you have to... use your noggin to remember, okay, where was this symbol? Then you have to step on that tile and reveal that symbol. Well, we were drinking quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Jason's my whiskey buddy in crime here. And we were no way in hell we were going to remember what that was.
Well, and the thing is, this is the first time we had encountered this puzzle. So we didn't even know what was going on. So the puzzle sequence, it flashes and it gets done. And we look at each other and we're like, oh, shit, I think we were supposed to memorize that. And we're like, oh, crap, what are we going to do now? And you had like the brilliant.
Flipping my hair right now.
You had the brilliant idea. And you like look over and you're like, Xbox, record that. Or something.
I didn't say because I didn't have a Kinect hooked up. But I did open up the menu.
I think you actually said it while you actually went into the menu, too. Because,
I probably did.
Because you were a little tipsy. That's okay. But it was quite brilliant. You earned yourself many stars that night. And
so what I was able to do to clarify, because this game is only online co-op, Jason and I were playing side-by-side TVs.
Yes.
So I was able to record back the sequence of symbols, and then he was on my TV, and then on his TV, he was able to input the correct solution, and we got a chest.
We got some item, and it was great.
It was wonderful.
It was brilliant.
So when you're doing the dungeon crawls, it's your typical dungeon crawling, but it is really fun, and the music is so good in this game, and we'll talk a little
bit about
catchy. That in a bit. So let's say you do your dungeon run, right? Now you have your ore, and you have your gold that you sent back to town on an elevator because you knew you were going to get your ass kicked by the boss, and you did. So when you do die, you just lose everything in your possession, which is why, again, it's so important to send what you have
before you die.
So always take advantage of that elevator and pay the fucking tax on your gold because it's totally worth it.
Yep.
So you get back to the town, and now this is when you can start really like making some progress with your weak ass character build. And so there are 10 buildings, and there is for example, the treasury, the guild hall, the general store, the blacksmith, the apothecary, the fountain, the chapel, and all of these different buildings have different roles and they can acquiesce to your play style. So, for example, the guild hall is what you'll want to upgrade if you want to upgrade the skills, the class-specific skills of your character. The blacksmith will help you upgrade your primary attack, your armor, if you want to move quicker throughout the map, your critical chance. There's a chapel, and if you unlock the chapel, you unlock the class of the priest, which also in the chapel gives you permanent buffs as well. And so there's like a lot, there's a lot of customization in this game. And there's also the ability to unlock the magic shop, which I don't think you and I did,
which unlocks
the wizard class, which kind of sucks. But you use ore to do all of this. And the town hall has 6 total upgrades. And so, which means that all of these 10 buildings can be upgraded around 6 times. Some of them can only be upgraded a few times as well. So what did you think about the town upgrading?
I liked the town upgrades. I thought it was a rewarding way to give us a reason to keep going through, you know, dungeon runs and collecting more ore. My only complaint is that it, and I know we'll get to this, but it began to feel too grindy. It was, I think our next town upgrade cost something like 160 ore, which is a lot because we were getting maybe an average of 15 to like 25 ore per run generally. Mm-hmm. And each run, how long would you say each run takes?
How long do I last before I die, man?
I mean, maybe like 20 to 30 minutes per run.
Yeah.
So if you want to get 160 ore, and that's just for one town upgrade, granted, I think it's for like the final, it's probably not the final upgrade, but it's like from level 5 to level 6 town. Mm-hmm. You're talking about probably, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours of gameplay to get enough ore to do that. And maybe that's a high estimate. But it's probably not out of the ballpark.
Yeah, the point is that it does become a little bit of a grind when you're trying to get good because the difficulty ramp up between each act. So if like between the mine to the prison to the armory, et cetera. It's intense.
Oh yeah.
and I get it. I think that's kind of, I don't play a lot of these roguelite games, but I feel like that's kind of what it's all about. The roguelites is grinding and getting good. But in this case, yeah, it just got to be a little too much where I know at least I burned out pretty quickly on it.
Yeah, I mean, I hit that point too, and I had a ton of fun with our time with it. I mean, we were stoked to play this game for all of those 10 or 11 hours, and we got to a point where we kind of looked at each other and we were like, you know, I don't know if I got another run in me right now.
I haven't talked to you about this yet, but I looked into the 2 DLC packs.
Okay.
Which are called the Moon Temple and the Period of Prophecy. And those are definitely meant for characters that have completed the main game.
Oh, really?
And then are a little bit more powerful. Okay. So that's why we got our asses handed
to
us.
Yeah, we did try that.
We tried switching it up, friends, and moving on to some of the DLC, but turns out that DLC was not meant for us.
Oh, got our asses handed.
So yeah, the town aspect I thought was really cute. It's really fun. It's just it's great in the beginning where I feel like you can easily get those upgrades because you are getting enough ore, but then at the one point you hit that wall and it's just a grind fest.
You know what would make it better though? So my character was in your instance. So that means that my character was in your town.
Oh yeah. We should talk about that. If you don't mind, I'll just clarify that really quick. So when you do play this game with someone else, it only supports online co-op, which I think is just quite frankly, really stupid. This game should absolutely support split screen. I don't know why it doesn't. Hammerwatch supported local split screen.
It did. Not even split screen. I think it was just same screen, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Just local co-op.
Local co-op. So how it works is Jason and I would go on a run together, and after that run is over, he would have, I don't know, like 30 ore in his inventory because you don't share it. If I get an ore in my run, Jason gets an ore in his run. If I get gold, Jason gets gold. Yeah. So it basically gives it to both of you. He is not allowed to use his ore to upgrade my town. He can only use his ore in his own instance. So it's essentially his own game. But because you were a guest in my game, you don't have the privilege of doing so. So it's kind of frustrating when we find ourselves in this position where I'm like, okay, I need 160 ore to upgrade XYZ. And Jason has like 180 to 200 in his inventory. And he's like, I have all this ore, but all he can do is essentially sell it to the ore trader to get gold.
Yeah.
And then you can use the gold to buy some fun companions, which will collect stuff for you, but that's not like a huge deal. Or upgrade other shit if you haven't already through the blacksmith.
Trouble is, I spent all my gold and bought everything. So I was left with all this ore that had literally no use. Because I couldn't use it on your town. Now, I think if they made it so that I could use my ore to help upgrade your town, it would feel more like we were collaborating to, like, upgrade our town.
Yeah, and it wouldn't feel so much like a grind because then the resources would
double the resources.
Yeah.
That would be a good change for them to make, but, you know.
The other thing that I think we both enjoyed. I mean, it could always been it could always be done better, but I think we both agree that the combat is fun in this game.
Oh yeah, I liked it.
So you have 9 different classes. You have a paladin, a ranger, a sorcerer, which is your ice mage, essentially your warlock, which is essentially your lightning mage, the witch hunter, the thief, the priest, the wizard, your fire mage, and a gladiator. So I started out with the paladin, and that's actually all I stuck with during the entire run. And you were the...
So I rolled with the sorcerer, which is like the ice mage. And then I also tried out the ranger. Mm-hmm. And there was another class that I tried out.
The witch hunter, I think?
Oh, yeah. It was the witch hunter. And the ranger and the witch hunter, just they weren't really for me. The ranger felt pretty vanilla. It has, like, a long-range attack, and it just didn't feel special.
Was that the one that had the dogs, though? Like, the flame hounds? What was that?
No, that was the witch hunter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ranger has a bow, as you would expect, and shoots arrows. And I don't know. I was just pretty underwhelmed with the ranger. I really liked the sorcerer because there's some... what is it? It's like geometry physics to it. So you can bounce your projectiles off of walls.
Oh, yeah.
And the more you upgrade your primary attack, the more bounces it'll make. So you can kind of bounce your projectiles off walls and make them go down hallways and kind of hit
it was perfect
enemies
for those
that are in other rooms.
It was moments where I face tanked and failed and I'm on my last leg.
Yeah.
So I would just hide behind Jason while he would like ping these little ice pellets down the hallway inevitably it hit people.
Yeah, around the corner so you can stay out of harm's way while your ice pellets are, you know, pinging down the hallway, like you said. So
yeah,
I liked it. I thought it was fun to play. Also, if your ice pellets hit an enemy, they will ricochet off the enemy and home to another enemy. And the more you upgrade it, the more mm-hmm. enemies they'll continue to ricochet and home off of. So it's fun. It kind of creates chaotic crowd control, and it's fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. And I like playing as the paladin. It was essentially a face tank. I got a cool shield, a sword. I could heal you because you couldn't heal me.
Which is weird. I'm used to being the mage who heals you, but in this game, you were actually healing
me. So, yeah, there's 9 classes. And so I was looking this up a bit online, and it sounds like they do play very differently. I think you can attest to that because you did try out some different classes. But the problem is like when you want to start a new class, you have to start at level 1. And so... it's hard when I'm level like 17 and Jason's like, I want to try a new class. And then he's like a plebe level 1. Then I have to kind of take him through each of those acts and those levels again and try to like beef him up a little bit. But as far as the classes go, so each class has 3 passives and 4 main attacks. And that includes your primary. So each class has 7 total things you can work on. So for example, the paladin, I have the sword, which is my main attack, the charge, which essentially like I charge bitches and I stab them and I do lots of damage and it's fun.
Yeah.
Lay on hands, which is my healing attack. And then I have whirlwind, which was a really fun little spinny thing with my big old sword and shield. And I got to like smack bitches around. And then my passives were shield. So I got to block, you know, certain projectiles that came at me from a certain angle. Stunning blows, which gave me a chance to stun enemies. And then flames of devotion, which adds 1 magical damage per stack to all of my skills. So that's just an example of, like, how one of the classes plays out. And like we mentioned earlier, if you go to the guild hall, you can upgrade those skills up to level. I think each skill has, like, 6 or so upgrades you can do for it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we got to level 6. We got pretty far.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't upgrade the town fully. It's probably 5 then.
So I think level 5. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing worth mentioning that I thought was, well, I don't know how you feel about this. I'll be interested to hear about death in this game. So essentially, if I die in this game, which I'm not saying I did a lot. But kind of, I do. You just lay there in a heap of your own, like, flesh and blood, and you're like, help me, I am dying. And then Jason would run over, save me, but that then means that we are soul linked.
I kind of like that system. Yeah, so you can revive your partner, but the moment you do that, if either of you dies again, you both die. So your deaths become more accountable to each other.
Our souls are linked.
Yes. However, one time, I think literally once in the 10 or 11 hours we played, we did come across a tombstone or something where that actually unsoul-linked us.
Yeah, I think it actually happened spawn. Twice.
Okay, twice.
Not to mansplain you here, but uh-oh. We did come across them twice. I remember the second time because it was just the last time we played.
Okay.
But yeah, you come across a tomb and you walk up to it and it's like, okay, you're unsoul-linked now.
Yeah, but I would say, I mean, that is it was nice, but it's a very rare spawn. And maybe it only spawns if you happen to be soul linked at the time you enter the floor. Maybe that's why. Who knows?
Yeah. But no, I'm with you. I think it's a good feature included in this game because at least when someone dies, it's not like, oh my God, instant death. Rah!
Yeah, that
it's
would be a little
totally
rough.
It's not game over. And then it kind of adds a little layer of strategy to it.
It does. It makes you feel both accountable to each other. You know that if I die or if you die, like we're both screwed and have to start over again. Mm-hmm. And there were several instances where... you know, one of us would be getting low on health and the other would be like, oh my God, no, I have so much ore and gold I haven't sent back on the elevator yet. Wait, don't die, don't die.
Let
me get to the elevator.
Like that one time I tried to get, we came across a puzzle in one of the levels and it was a spike level. And I had all this ore and I was feeling all froggy. I was feeling like King Turtle shit mountain. Was like, oh yeah, I got this puzzle. Cause it's a timing puzzle and you have to make sure you time it so you don't, you know, get impaled by the spikes. Well, of course I fucked it all up. So I just died in the middle of all of these spikes and I was like, hello.
Yeah, like literally surrounded on all sides. It, like on your body was just getting impaled over and over and over by spikes. And you probably had like 20
I had so many
something
ore
and a lot of gold. And now it was up to me to come rescue you. And I had to now navigate the timing puzzle that you had just failed on.
But you were smart and you went to an elevator first.
So I went to the elevator and deposited all my shit. And then I came back to try to get you and that did not go well.
Nope. Then we both died. And
so you lost everything because you hadn't deposited it. Yeah. So that's the thing. They do punish you if you take risks and don't deposit. See, there is actually... a pro to, or I would say an advantage to not depositing your stuff. And that is you'll be taxed less because your tax rate is based on how much gold you have in your town coffers. So the more you're sending gold back to your town coffers, that means the more you're going to get taxed next time.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. And the other thing too, that I think this game does well, that made me feel like, okay, this isn't super punishing, is after you get through each act. So you defeat the boss at the first act, you go through all three levels, you defeat the boss, and you go through the next act and you die. You don't have to go through all three of those levels again. The game gives you what we call the red door It's like literally a red door. But on the first level of each act, it gives you a red door. And if you go through it, you just have to do like a little mini arena fight where you fight a few waves of enemies. And if you are successful in that, you get to move on to the next act. So you can immediately go from the mine to the prison to the armory, for example. You don't have to retrace all of your steps. Right. That's not to say you don't want to sometimes retrace your steps because you can get some good ore hauls, but it just depends on how lucky you get with those randomly generated items. And of course, I think we 100% need to just praise the music real quick.
Oh man, I loved
it. It's so good.
Super catchy.
Super catchy.
It's been stuck in my head all day today, honestly. It's really good.
So overall, I would say, like, you know, we really did have some fun with this game, but I think there are some things that we should mention that were kind of a little bit of a turnoff for us. It kind of made the legs squeeze together, if you know what I'm saying. The first thing is the fact that we talked about this a little bit earlier. It does not support local co-op, split screen, anything.
Yeah, so you need two consoles, two TVs, and... And this, you know, we overcame this challenge. We, what was it, a weekend or 2 weekends ago? We went to a little town called Leavenworth, and we stayed there for the weekend in an Airbnb because we needed to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. It's a pandemic. You gotta get your eyeballs on some new scenery, and they had a TV there, so we brought both of our consoles, and luckily there were two TVs in this Airbnb, and we hauled them next to each other, and we hooked up our Xboxes, signed both of them into Wi-Fi, and then when we played Hammerwatch right next to each other on these two TVs, it was a bit inconvenient in the sense that we had to bring two Xboxes instead of one, and we had to rely on Wi-Fi in order to play co-op. You know, if we were at a place where there wasn't Wi-Fi, we would have been out of luck. And so those are the potential downsides of relying on online co-op. I really don't see a reason why it's not local co-op. Like you said, the original Hammerwatch was local co-op, And so I don't know why they didn't make this
one. It just seems kind of like a cheap ploy to sell more copies. And I hate jumping to that conclusion. But, I mean, everyone knows I don't make games. I don't know how difficult it is to make a game co-op, and I don't know the size of the studio, so I don't want to pretend like or assume that they have all the resources possible. I don't even know if Steam supports local, which I would assume they probably don't, but it was a pain in the butt, but it does make for a fun story because, you know, like you said, we did have to haul a TV from one part of the house to another part of the house, and we made it work.
And we did.
It was good.
It made for a good memory. That was the night where Brittany had the genius Xbox record that moment.
Yes, you know, I've had my moments. Oh, yes. It was a good time. And the other thing that we've mentioned, we've already covered this, is that it just now feels like too much of a grind. It's a little bit too samey, a little bit too repetitive. It feels like we'd have to do a whole bunch of runs to even start making progress on this game. And I get that some people enjoy that. Some people enjoy that grind. But, you know, I think you and I are the same as, like, we want to play a game that we feel like we're making progress on.
Yep.
And I just frankly don't have the time to spend on one game like this for as long as it would take me to take us, you know, to get through it. And I was looking online at some people on the Steam forums. This game has been out for some time. Mm-hmm. And it was essentially the same thing. You see posts from parents who are like, I don't have time for this. Like, there should be an option where maybe, you know, I don't know what it is. Like, there should be an option where I can get past some of this, or maybe you should lower the difficulty or the ore requirement so I can continue to make progress to this game. And I did read some interesting things where there are ways where you can boost your experience points from like 100% to 200%. And I guess it's by using the fountain that we briefly talked about. Essentially, like, there's a fountain in town. It's one of the things you can upgrade, and what it allows you to do is kind of manipulate your dungeon run. You can make it so the levels will be larger, that maybe the traps won't cause as much damage to you or whatnot. And apparently by tweaking with that, you can get a 200% increase in golden XP, which I guess would be useful to an extent. But
to an extent,
but the ore is where you want it.
That's really the limiting factor.
Yeah. That's true.
The ore is what you use to upgrade your town, and without upgrading your town, you can't upgrade your skills or your gear. So it really all comes down to ore.
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of moving parts to this, and I think, you know, if you're looking for a game where you can really dive into and, like, you really want to master, there are ways to make your game more efficient, but there's just a lot that would go into that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the best thing they could do would just be to lower the price of ore upgrades, and I think that would really go a long way.
What we should have done, and this would have been complicated, and I think I thought about this too late, is you could have taken a game, like your game world, right? And you could have focused on upgrading, like, the blacksmith or, like, the priest or something, right? And on my game, I could have focused on leveling the guild hall or whatnot, right?
Yeah.
And then we could have, like, kind of, like, cheated the system that way.
Yeah, you could have come into my town to upgrade your blacksmith stuff, and I could have come into your town to upgrade whatever your... Yeah, that probably would have worked. It would have been, I don't know, a little... just complicated.
I know.
To get some upgrades.
It would have been. And
but it probably would have worked.
Yeah. And the last thing I just kind of want to mention is briefly, because we don't have enough to talk about, is the DLC. You got the Period of Prophecy and the Moon Temple. Like I said earlier, it's the same sort of formula. You got the different acts. You got the three levels per act. You got the boss at the end. And this is just mostly for people who are taking the time to grind and hashtag get good, aka not us, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would say that the arena is in the DLC.
It's in the pyramid, you're right.
Pyramid, mm-hmm. And we did have a lot of fun with the arena, and it is a really good way to actually grind, as we found.
It's
repetitive,
kind of,
though.
It's repetitive. So the way the arena works is it's, you know, you're in a coliseum, essentially, and you have waves of enemies to defeat, and once you defeat them, you get gold, you get experience points, and you get ore. I think like 10 to 15 ore per run. Each run doesn't take very long, but it's incredibly repetitive. The level layout does change a little bit, but it looks more or less the same.
Yeah, there's like randomly generated traps, like, you know, blocks that smash, you know, up and down and don't get squished, or like spikes that come out of the ground, or arrows that fire out of columns and so on.
Yeah.
One thing I really did like about the arena, though, was that there are lots and lots of item drops. So the crowd throws items from the stands onto the ground, and then you pick them up, and then they give you various buffs ranging from common to uncommon to rare to, like, epic or legendary or whatever the most you know, Epic is. Mm-hmm. And do you remember? Do you remember some of the most cool skills?
Yeah. Like, no, I'm glad you brought up the items, because that's something we should have brought up too, is you can get items through your dungeon runs, obviously, but it's worth noting that they only stick with you until you die. And the minute you die, you are done. And there are 5 levels of rarity. So I think the items you're probably talking about are the red ones.
Yeah. Wasn't there even another level beyond red?
There could have been. I think red is the most epic though.
Okay.
And the red ones have these really fun little like buffs that you can get. Like, one of them is a freaking laser beam that like shoots out of you when you're
just like every 2 seconds, it just automatically shoots a giant laser beam out of like your body, and it just targets some random enemy, and it's really fun. Another one that I remember is anywhere you walk leaves a trail of flames, so you know that'll burn people up. There's another one where if you kill an enemy of one type, another enemy of that same type somewhere will randomly just die instantly. You can spawn like a little
guardian.
Like a helper to fight alongside you, like a melee guy. So there's some really cool items that you can get,
not just in the arena, but also during your dungeon runs. But right. I think you and I weren't good enough to see the really badass items.
No, we weren't, unfortunately. Yeah. And the items can do mundane stuff too, like they'll just, you know, increase your HP regen rate, or they'll increase your movement speed, mm-hmm. or, you know, even just simply like the, your primary attack damage, or, you know, really just anything you can think of. They put items in there for it. I think there's like hundreds of items in this game.
Yeah. Right? There's over 160 items in this game.
Yeah. And that adds a lot of variety and flavor and juice to the game that I really liked. It was really exciting to pick up items and see what they do and read what they do and mm-hmm. how they help.
And unfortunately the, arena is about as far as we got into the Pyramid of Prophecy DLC. We did try to do one desert run, which sounds like it's actually pretty cool because it does and will ultimately put you in a pyramid, but we got eaten by a giant crust worm.
Oh, yeah.
Which I understand is actually a Dune reference, which if you've listened to the What's Good Games podcast, you'll be like, oh, they were just talking about Dune, which we were.
Hey.
Yay. But yeah, I think, and then there's the Moon Temple, which again, we got our fucking asses kicked and we're just not good enough or plebe enough for that.
Yep.
So I think overall, though, if you're looking, if you have, why is there no freaking local co-op for this? I just don't understand it. But, you know, if you do have a friend who's looking, who enjoys this kind of game and you enjoy this kind of game, we got a good solid 10 hours out of it.
Yeah. And it was really entertaining.
Really entertaining. And I'm definitely, in my opinion, worth a $20 price tag.
For sure.
And there, like I said, there are still so many moving parts of this. You could master this game if you want to take the time to learn all the mechanics, learn what's the most efficient way to play. How do you manipulate the fountain? How do you buff your character? There's 9 different classes to play as. So there's a lot of depth here. But for me, just the, it just got a little too repetitive toward the end.
Yeah, same. I think we burned out at right about the same time, and it wasn't because the game isn't fun. I think it's just simply that the grind became too real for us.
The grind became real.
Yeah.
But what I do hear is that Hammer Watch 2 is the thing that's being
made. It is. Okay.
Yeah. So
go on.
I think it's been a while since the game was announced, so I don't know when that's coming out. But like I mentioned at the top of the show, we really enjoyed Hammer Watch, which is why we were so interested in Heroes of Hammer Watch.
Yep.
And I'm glad we checked it out.
Yeah, both games were a lot of fun.
And so I would definitely recommend playing it. There's just that freaking caveat of no local co-op. But other than that, I think it's definitely it's a really fun game to play with someone else. And I'm glad we played it together. Yeah,
I totally agree.
We had some fun times with it, Demers.
We did. We were both equally hooked on it and looked forward to playing it for, you know, many nights in a row.
Until we didn't. Until one day we looked at each other. Actually, yeah. It was more of me being like, I think I'm over it.
Yeah, and then I was like, yeah, I guess I am too. You know, just a little bit too grindy, but until you reach that point, you will have plenty of fun with it. And I think 10, 11, 12 hours is a fine amount of time to play a co-op game where you're having a lot of fun with a friend. So, recommended.
Yeah, you can't put a price tag on memories that'll last a lifetime or some other cheesy bullshit. Don't you all? Yeah. You know I'm so full of shit right now. Well, friends, I think that will wrap up our very first episode of the co-op show. I don't know, do we even have an email address where people can reach out to us yet?
Just wait till episode 2 and then you can email us.
Fair enough. In the meantime, you know where to find me on Twitter @BlondeNerd, and I would tell you where to find Jason on Twitter, but let's be real, your Twitter account's kind of...
Yeah, just find Brittany.
Just find me and I'll relay any messages. Thank you so much for listening. This is fun. And if you have any feedback for us, let us know. We want to try to incorporate some audience participation in the future. So if you have any questions for us, we'll work out the kinks, but we just kind of wanted to hop on the mics and record something and put it out there. So here we are. We've done episode one. High five.
High five.
Oh, we just high fived.
Oh, yeah. We had to reach across the table.
I think that's why. Muscle up. Yeah, we're both kidding.
We're both stretching right
that's
now.
That's not good. Thank you so much for watching, and we will see you next week.
Later, guys.
Bye. Did I just say thank you so much for watching?
I don't know.
Well, thanks for listening.